You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, August 4th, episode 3746, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
That's right. It is Monday morning, and we have a fun show planned for you today. One of our favorite people is joining us. Elisa Wallace is going to join us to chat about something that she has been chosen to compete in. We're going to chat with her. We're very excited about that. Jamie's going to tell us all about her adventure to pick up her new baby, her Palomino. And we have your monthly look at equestrian first world problems. And auditors, hang on. We're going to have a post show for you as well. I have the final numbers here from the pony auction last week. I know we talked about a little bit about this, but I think you're going to be surprised at the totals. I didn't have the totals then. So remember we talked about one of the buyback horses or fillies went for $100,000.
Yes. Crazy, crazy money for a foal that they're buying and then sending back to the island to live.
And it was an offspring of the mare Marguerite and the stallion Hidalgo. So that's who that filly was.
I mean, Marguerite and Hidalgo's baby? Yes. What? That's so cool.
Another buyback foal, number 22, exceeded last year's record as well with $78,000. Now,
was the record last year?
I think it was 50. It was what I remember. Somewhere around 50. Now, they did confirm that Virginia's First Lady did buy a horse, a take-home horse, for $50,000. That was the highest of the other babies that was auctioned off. You want the totals? 94 ponies sold. The total was $1,008,100.
Wow.
Average cost, $10,700. And there were six buybacks that went for a total of $355,000.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Okay, so basically, what I'm learning from you talking about that is what a steal I got on my baby.
Yes, apparently you did. What, you didn't spend $10,700?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, and I know we have Tara who bought one a couple years ago. And I mean, good on y'all to not shop this year, the 100th year. Holy cow.
Yeah, well, good for them. I mean, a lot of this money goes to taking care of the, you know, horses that are still left. It goes to the fire department. The fire department's responsible for all the vet bills and everything of the horses that are left. So they're the ones that are doing, you know, the taking care of.
94 ponies. How many are reproducing on this island? Good God.
I think they said there was a total of 100 foals this year. There were six that got left behind.
Oh my gosh, that is so many babies.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be addressed. I mean, sure, they're making money, but
right
there's still like a ton of foals that are being created that, that's too much. I'm thinking too much.
You're thinking too much, but you got to look at it this way. These foals have a home, so there's that. So anyway, there you go. There's the final on the Chincoteague Pony Auction. I know. It's crazy. I think next year we'll see a drop back down to normal levels again. Let's do some daily whinnies.
Chili.
We have a bunch of auditor birthdays today. Patty Otto, Sarah Bainham, Michelle Patton, and Madison Tillman. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Happy birthday!
Your neighbor, Patty Otto, right?
I know. Yeah. Happy birthday, Patty. We went and got pedicures last week in honor of her upcoming birthday. Yes. That's what we do. I've got a couple daily winnies. One is congratulations on your new horse, listener Ruth McCormick. She got a horse named Ziggy. That's such a cute name. I love it. I love a good Z name. But congratulations, Ruth.
Ruth was a fellow cruiser, too, from the past. We've met her a few times.
Nice, nice. Well, I also want to give a daily whinny to Charlie Warner and the Mustang, because Charlie Warner owns Thor the Mustang, who used to be my Mustang that I got from the prison auction forever ago. And when I moved here, she took over the reins and has been competing him. Won a big horse trial.
You cut out a little bit there. Which horse was it?
Thor the Mustang.
Thor the Mustang. Okay.
So she has Thor, and she competed at Shepherd Ranch this past weekend. They went from Arizona all the way to Shepherd Ranch, which is like past Monty's place. I mean, it's really far. And competed and came in second place. Oh, was leading after dressage, leading after cross country, and then one stupid rail and show jumping. And then I know she's just thought about that stupid rail.
Representing the Mustangs, though. Well done.
Yes. So hopefully she's qualified for the AECs. That's right. Thor the Mustang, baby. I just love it.
And you know they're out in California this year, the AECs.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, I think that she should go. I mean, it's a thing. So congratulations, Charlie and Thor. That's so fantastic. Yay.
All right. I got to hear it. Everybody's waiting for this. You were talking about going pick up the Palomino baby and how you were, who has just been weaned from mama. And how you were going to get the Palomino baby into the trailer, how you were going to get the Palomino baby home and off the trailer without breaking any parts. You were successful. I saw a video. So
yes, I was successful. However, I went to pick him up on Thursday. And when I got there on Thursday, and he's so gentle and so sweet. And I was loving on him in the stall. And he's not pushy. He's just appropriately affectionate, you know? And so I go in and I'm rubbing all over him. And I was like, he's got a hernia. And I was like, oh God, I got to take him up to the clinic. It's going to be $700 for this.
Chad.
I haven't even castrated him yet. Like, I'm already $700 in for the stupid hernia surgery. And they were like, and remember, this is a vet clinic, but a breeding place. And the vet goes, we'll take care of it. We'll do that for you. And I was like, what? And so Dr. Coy, bless his heart, did the surgery the next morning and included it in my adoption fee. Like, didn't charge me at all. So fantastic.
And it wasn't $10,700 like the ponies?
It was not $10,000. I mean, I spent a whopping $300 on this bull, and I got a free hernia surgery. So yay me. Now, I would also like to take a side note here, because there's a young lady who used to work at Royal Vista, and her name is Serafina. And apparently, every time I talk about this, she narks out to Dr. Coy and tells him everything I say about him. And if
she listens to the show,
she listens, and then she
Serafina, you should
afterwards.
Know better. What's said here stays here. It's like Vegas.
Whose side are you on? He was like, so you think you told everybody I was trying to get you to take two foals? And I was like, well, you were. And he was like, but I was like, Dr. Coy, there has to be a villain in every movie, okay? You're the villain today. And then Serafina went back and narked on me. So listen, Serafina, as you're listening to this right now, whose side are you on? Are you on team us or team them? Okay. So anyway.
But can I just say Serafina is one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
I know. And she's pretty and nice.
Of course. Anybody named Serafina would be beautiful.
But she's a narc, Glenn. She's a narc. Okay.
You're lucky you got the baby at all after that.
I know. I was so embarrassed. Like, I had no idea.
Price is now $10,700.
I know. Sorry. We're going to have to cancel. Thank you. So, moving past it, Serafina, from now on, you keep your business. Keep my business to yourself.
Remember, everybody, what's said here stays here. It's between us.
Forget people listen, you know? And like, I say things and then I hear about them and I was so embarrassed. I was like,
I can't believe you listened.
Yeah. He didn't. She told him everything I said. Okay.
All right.
Moving past.
So you
that.
Go to get the baby.
So I get, so they did hernia surgery on Friday morning and I picked him up Friday afternoon. And needless to say, he was not super interested in getting in my large step up trailer. I led him up to it. He's tiny. He's like 3 months old. I mean, he's a baby. And so to go to get him to step up on it, and I've got the little butt rope on him and I got all the things and they're helping me get him in. And he did not want to get in. He's just kind of like, I think he stepped up and he was like, nope. And so, you know, as he's so tiny, they had a couple guys
just pick
come
him up and throw him in.
They picked him up and put him in. He's so small.
I remember doing that with babies.
Yes. They just lifted him up. His legs didn't even bend. They just lifted him up and put him in. We closed the trailer. He rode nice and quiet and
by
himself.
Did you bring any? No, you didn't bring a babysitter?
Well, I didn't because I wanted to have a fully open trailer and not have a partition where he would get
under
potentially get stuck underneath it. And so I had one trailer and I opened all the partitions. If I'd had Carl in there, what happens if Carl doesn't like it?
Mm-hmm. It's a long ride.
And I was like, like, this is like putting two cats in a bag and throwing them in the river, like, it, potentially. So I was like, you know, I think I'll just let it. I mean, I live 20 minutes away, so it's not like he was in there for hours by himself. So we put him in and just, like, drove off. I had the trailer all comfy for him.
And usually when you're driving, though, as long as it's moving, the horses are trying to stand up. So that's all they're worried about. So
he didn't make a peep the whole time. So he was totally fine. And when we got home, he wasn't sweaty. He wasn't stressed.
That's a good sign. Yeah.
Yeah. I backed it up to the arena and I bought a little foal halter. So I put the foal halter on him. So I let him out with the foal halter on and he stepped out of the trailer and did this little trot around and he's like, okay, I'm cool. And then he started whinnying and he was like lonely. So I was like, okay, Carl, game on.
Craigslist Carl.
Craigslist Carl for the win. And so I brought Carl out and introduced him over the fence. And he did his little baby clacking, you know, like that, through their jaw. And so Carl did great with him. And he tried to nurse off Carl immediately. And Carl was like, no, sir. Nothing there. Nothing there for you.
Nothing down there.
Nothing down there. And so, you know, and then I was like, you know, let me see how Duke does. Because Duke is he's now 33. And Duke is the one I have weaned because everybody has been asking me, did I use Duke to do it? And so I put Duke out there across the fence and sniffed him. And Duke was totally terrified of him, like horse to mini terrified of him. And Duke helped me wean my three other foals that I have had.
Yeah, this is a different color.
he wasn't born here, I guess. I don't know. His mom's not here. I don't know what happened. But I put
like a
Duke
big banana,
out.
Let's be honest. I mean, he's
exactly. And I think at some one point, Duke was out and he turned around and galloped the 30 feet into the stall and jumped into the stall and like hid in the corner.
Save me.
And he was like, I don't want it. I don't want that job anymore. I'm retired. Like, I don't know. He wanted no part of it. No part of it at all. So Craigslist Carl, and they have their big half acre paddock and the grass is really tall and I'm leading him in every day during the heat and feeding him. And he's just the sweetest thing.
Can I tell you, you posted a picture or a video. I think you posted it on your Flyover Farm page, so anybody can go watch it. But Jennifer and I watched it together. The trot on that baby, oh my God, it's the floatiest, most
so
beautiful
cute.
Trot. I mean, the trot is unbelievable. You don't often see that floaty, like barely touch the ground trot in 3-year-olds or 3 months olds, rather.
Yeah, I mean, he's just super kind. Like, he's the kind of foal, you know, you get around foals and you're like, kind of have to be on edge because they might just all of a sudden airs above the ground. Now, whether it's his hernia surgery that's keeping him fairly quiet, but he just has been super pleasant. Like, I sat down next to him while he was eating his grain, you know, and like I can touch all the way down his feet. I haven't tried to pick up his feet or anything, but I'm touching him all over. I've got a fly mask on him. I'm practicing leading, you know, we're giving to pressure and stuff. And I mean, he's only been here 4 days. And this is what I thought I wouldn't be able to touch him, really, you know, for a while until he was comfortable. But he's been really lovely, and I'm super excited. And it's just fun to have a baby around again.
It's always fun to have a baby around. Even if they're naughty, it's still fun. It's
like... I know. But, like, I remember Zara she catapulted herself into me, like, you know, I love you, hold me. And like, this guy hasn't done that, like, so I'm pretty
excited.
I wonder if it's also partly
because they're out with so many other horses that they're kind of taught their place.
Yes, I wondered about that too, because they've been told no, don't do that. But I met his mother, and so his mother was Rosemary at the Royal Vista, and so, I mean, they name all their nurse
quarter horse or what? What was mom?
Yeah, so she was a quarter horse, and she comes from like performance, kind of like roping. I think they said she was a roping horse, and so she's a great mom, and she's super. She reminds me of Pink, my old brood mare. Just super nice, super kind, really gentle, you know. And they said that every foal that Rosemary has had has been lovely.
So you picked a good one.
I did.
Confirmationally looks great too, but I know about it, you know me, I know it a little bit.
Well, I'll keep you guys posted. So as far as names, I've been getting a lot of questions on what is his name. Well, as usual, I sent videos and pictures to Monty.
Oh, no.
To see if he would like to name
which
the
Greek
horse.
God, this does the god or god did he well, name this time?
Yeah, so he named Zeus. He's the one who named Zeus, and he also, because Zara, my filly, her registered name was Royal Empire. That's he named her Zara. So I don't know if it's a Z thing or just happened to be a coincidence, but I've sent all the video, but I do have a name picked out. So we'll see how it is.
You're holding back on us.
I'm holding back on you because I have a name that I've been calling him. But if Monty comes up with something better, I mean, he's 90. Like, I feel like this would be like a nice, cool thing for him to name the baby. Why not? Like, I think that's kind of cool. But if it doesn't work, if he doesn't do it or is not interested in doing it, I have a name picked out already. So we'll see.
I had one too. Do you want me to tell you mine?
Yes.
I had Elvis because Elvis had a Palomino.
Oh, God.
I knew you'd love that one.
That's actually a cute name, though. It's for real. Like, Elvis.
Elvis rode the Palomino. That was the horse he rode.
And every time he does something good, I could say, thank you very much.
Perfect. I think it works. You know what else works? Worm flooring works. And they now do your trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against the heat and wet. First, it seals your roof and stops leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and buckets and invest in long-lasting peace of mind, like the listener we had on a couple of weeks ago had both done the floor and the roofs on both of her horse trailers. It's called Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's $7.50 a square foot. So go to wormflooring.com and find a dealer near you. We're going to go to our first guest today. It's Elisa Wallace. She's an eventer. She's been on the show many times over the years. We've had her on talking about her work with Mustangs and starting horses and things like that. And she's getting to do something really fun next year.
I'm so excited to welcome our guest to the show today, Elisa Wallace. You have some huge news coming, and I'm so excited for you. Hi, girl. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Are you down in Florida right now?
Yep, down in Ocala.
Oh, with me in the 1,000-degree humidity.
I was gonna
honestly
say,
it's hot everywhere.
That's true.
Mean, I honestly do better in the humidity than dry heat. So,
yeah. Well, you're in the right place.
Yeah, I'm at home per se.
Yeah. So, do you work the horses throughout the day? Do you have a certain time that you go out and the time you finish, that kind of thing?
So, generally, we try to get the horses done. You know, the bulk of them done in the mornings. Generally, we finish up around like noontime because it's pretty warm. And then we take a break. Everybody goes inside for lunch. And then whatever horses I have left, when it's cooled off in the afternoon, I work the rest.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I feel like all of these, the difficult horses and all of the work that you've had to do and all the time you've put in on training horses for your entire life is like kind of coming to a culmination in a competition form. So you guys, Elisa Wallace is going to be in the Road to the Horse next year. Yay! That's
good.
So
job,
exciting.
Elisa. Yay.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very nervous about it, but yeah.
I was going to ask, first of all, how did this happen?
Tammy had reached out to me back in 2021 for competing, and kind of the date of Road to the Horse always can kind of conflict with a big event that I can, because I do 3-day eventing. And so Carolina International and Road to the Horse kind of can conflict with dates. And I probably use that as an excuse a little too much, honestly. It just has come. It was great to watch Tick go, because I know when Tick Maynard went, he gave me a call, and so I was really excited for him to go, and he won it twice, so that was awesome representation of us event riders as well, and horsemanship. So, you know, that was really inspiring, and also I'm not getting any younger, so I was kind of like, you know what, time to check that box.
Yes. Now, you mentioned Tick, so he's coming on Thursday, and we are going to talk to him about his book, Starting in the Middle, which is a book about kind of his journey of getting prepared. And I'm just to the point where he's starting. So I have, spoiler alert, I know he wins, but like, I haven't read that part of the book. But have you read this book, and have you consulted with him? Like, who are you talking to prepare?
Yeah, I haven't read his book yet. I think, bringing it to me when he gets back home. I did give him a call and chat with him, and I've talked to him throughout, like when he competed too. So after he won the last one, cause he lives not far from me. So, they come over for dinner, and you know, we try to pick each other's brains and stuff like that. So, but I did give him a chat, and it was nice to, sorry. So
it's okay.
Getting over COVID, have like the same emotions. So like all the feelings I'm feeling he had as well. So, you know, I feel the biggest thing is understanding anything that you do that's a little bit out of your wheelhouse, you know, per se, which is always good because it pushes you to learn new things. That's why I love doing the Mustangs and doing different disciplines and stuff like that. Kind of pushes you and helps you in your own discipline. But just really understanding, knowing the rules is really important. I do have a pretty good support system of, through my career working with Mustangs, I have a lot of friends and stuff who start a lot of colts. I mean, I start horses, you know, but, and I've, like you said, I've dealt with a lot of difficult and sensitive horses. So I feel like I have a pretty good base of understanding. Yeah. So, you know, just, of course, it's going to be very different because you're under a time crunch and, you know, it's over 3 days and everyone's watching your every move. And, you know, there's,
Don't talk yourself out of it right now.
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking yourself out of it.
No, it's just being, I'm just aware. It's just being aware of all of the things that you have to be prepared for. So being comfortable in that atmosphere to where, you know, you're able to make correct decisions and, you know, not feel hurried, because it's easy to put too much pressure on yourself. So for me, it's just always staying in the moment with the horse. Like, that's the most important point.
I remember when I competed at the Thoroughbred Makeover, you did a kind of a competition demo in the round pen in the indoor at the
Horse
Bar too. So you've been kind of put in this type of situation. But I mean, my gosh, with all the work that you've done with all the different Mustangs and dealing with, like, I mean, people, you grew up with your dad giving you the problem horses, you know? So I think you have such a great base. And honestly, when I first learned about Road to the Horse, I thought, this is a Lisa Wallace's thing, man. Like, I mean, aside from the time crunch, like I start horses too. And sometimes, like, the best thing to do is quit and, like, I'll come back later. Mm-hmm. You don't have that luxury for this one. So I guess you have to switch it up. Like,
well, what are some of your fears? Like, actually there's really no, well, fear is failure, right? But, like, in this, you know, failing. But in this, when you're working with horses, you have to do right by the horse. So as long as you don't fail the horse, you're not failing. So that's how I'm looking at it. So
that's beautiful.
That's really what I want to do, is just do a good job of learning from my horse and doing the best I can for them in that moment. And that at the end of the day, that's all I can do, you know, is your best. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. I'm going to take it as a really good opportunity to learn and an opportunity to push myself and to go train with people that I, you know, I wouldn't always train with that if I'm focusing on my eventing competitions, but it also helps me with my event horses too. So it's really, really fun that way. Like, some things I will get to do because I do have the Mustang Classic coming up in September.
Yeah.
But after that, my friends are putting together kind of like a mock colt starting thing for me to, like, practice on starting like 6 colts and having my support system there so we can, they all know me really well, but, you know, making sure that we communicate well and who, kind of feeling out.
Can I ask who that is, Elisa? Because the people that are in the ring with you, your I forget what they call them. But
pin wrangler.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're very important. Did you have that person picked out?
So the person I've picked kind of officially has been Kevin Graham. So Kevin and I met doing our very first makeover. So it was very bonding. We did lots of crying on that Sunday when the horses were being adopted. So he's really come along as a horseman as well. And he's actually had a lot of experience with the colt starting competitions and being a pen wrangler.
Perfect.
So, and because we have had, you know, we've known each other for 12-13 years now, so you know, he's passionate about horses as well and has a pretty good read. And and then my good friend Rebecca Bowman and also my mentor Cindy Brassfield. Like, I'm gonna have a big group of people, but like Kevin will be like my eyes and ears kind of down
perfect
in the bottom.
So is there potential for Tick to also be in it? And it's like this eventer competition, or is he out this year?
I don't believe so. I mean, I don't know who, but I don't believe, in talking with him, he's not, it's not on the cards for him this year. I don't know. I know they're hoping to announce the third championship competitor soon. I have no idea who it is. And then, of course, they have the wild card, the 4 wild card people that compete for the 1 championship slot. So they'll be having lots of announcements, I believe, soon. But it's really exciting. And I think it's a really great platform. You know, they do a really good job of, you know, really wanting to have a thing about learning and inspiring and I think that's really great to open that up, you know?
What separates you and what separates Tick, and maybe it's just an eventer thing, because like what we do in eventing with our horses is just an believable, trust-based partnership. What I think you and Tick both bring to that, and I mean, I haven't watched every single one of them, but I do know enough to know of other trainers that don't have that severe trust-based thing, is I think that you're going to display that, and that you're not only an advocate for Mustangs and for thoroughbreds and all the horses, like this is something where you're going to be an advocate for kind training and gentle training and right. listening to the horse. And I'm so excited for you. Like, I just thought that this was your thing years ago. And I'm so excited. They've twisted your arm enough to get you to do it.
Yeah. Tammy's been persistent enough. Yeah, like I said, I'm very excited, but very nervous. Because, again, I guess the worst fear is that you'll get there and be like, well, I can't get a halter on my horse. You know?
Well, the other hard thing, too, that people kind of underrate is there's 20 horses out there in a pack all running around like nuts, and you have to pick one, you know?
And I do think I have a – I mean, I'm not going to – what does help is learning how to pick horses. So I've had to pick a lot of Mustangs.
That's true.
And I've had to do that kind of quickly. And like, you don't get a lot of information. Yeah. Like in a pen, and all you can see is like a little bit of their neck set and like how they're reacting. So I think I feel like I have a base of reading horses and like the types that they are. And it is really important to have a good pick of a horse. So, you know, you want a confident horse. And it's interesting always to see what everybody picks. Funnily enough, when I talked to Tick, I was like, did you know that the two that you picked were by the same sire? And he's like, that was just coincidental. And I was like, huh, well, cause you can go and you can, yeah, he has a type. You can go and you can, really do some deep research and see all the horses that everyone's picked and go back and look at the bloodlines and see kind of everything. So that's kind of like what I've been doing. Like I'll go and look at certain horses and how they react and go kind of play around and look at the bloodlines, because bloodlines aren't everything, but it can give you a little bit of information. I mean, I breed horses,
Well, and I was going to tell you that Tick's book, he really talks a lot about the pick, and there's some great advice, which is basically like, don't make it any harder than it has to. See, here's the problem is I'm like, oh, that one looks so wild and ferocious. I want that one. And he's basically like, no.
Yeah.
Don't start harder than you have to.
That's right.
You
know? Yeah. Why make it worse?
He talks a lot about that in the book.
You don't want that one that's like kind of up and puffy, but like, I don't know. There's certain types that I kind of like. Like sometimes, like for me, when I randomly got Fledge, but when I watched Fledge in the pen, there was chaos going around him and he just held his ground and he said, this is my spot. And you know, that horse was really, really cool to work with. And I've had other ones that kind of like just have that like little bit of inner confidence. Like, yeah, chaos can be going on. It's totally fine. Then you can have other horses that are really like those extroverts. Like I've had like Rune that would like come up and be like, hey, what's in your hand? Like, hey, what's that? And those are really cool horses to work with because the curiosity can really help you. And then you can have sometimes those followers that they follow, but you can teach them to follow you. So that's kind of like three kind of like the types that people tend to go for. Because sometimes people want a little bit more insecure horse in some ways because they feel like they can make them braver because they might be a little bit more sensitive. Because in this competition, forward is everything. So sometimes what you see is it can be a lot and the horses get tired and then they start getting sticky and they don't go forward. So you want to have a forward thinking horse. You want to have the curiosity. So like teaching that forward going is like the biggest thing, I guess. But yeah, the pick is always like, I'm always curious because when I looked at them, I'd be like, oh, there's one horse that I picked that no one else picked, but it was a really cute horse. But yeah, it's just been, it's been interesting, and I've been doing lots of research, watching like all of the Road to Horses that I can. And you know, going and looking at the scores, you and knowing exactly what you're working for. You know, you gotta, if you're going to a competition, you gotta know what they want.
You gotta practice. You gotta practice and know what the rules are. I mean, good Lord, the eventing rule book changes every year. You gotta reread the damn thing.
Yeah.
There are some serious rules in Road to the Horse. I mean, they got it down to a science. I mean,
Yes. There are. And you know, it's silly to lose points on
stupid
stuff.
You know,
stupid stuff. It's just like silly things that where you could say, for instance, like in your dressage test, where we lose some of our most points is like in our halts. And that's where you can really get some good points is in your halts. So it's kind of like, you know, try to really maximize the easy and simple things and not overcomplicate things.
Oh, I'm super excited. When is it happening?
It's in March.
Yes. So it's March 19th through the 21st, held at the All Tech Arena in Lexington, Kentucky.
Tammy wanted me to let everybody know that there's tickets available. You can get them at roadtothehorse.com. And you know, I feel like our world is colliding right now because Tammy used to host a show on the Horse Radio Network in the early days for years.
Really?
And we're talking about Tammy Sarant. She's the one that runs Road to the Horse now. She used to host the Western radio show for years and years. I used to host the show with your husband. So I kind of feel like things are coming together here. So,
well, you know, the horse world is a small world.
How's Tim doing?
Oh, yeah, he's great. You know, just working away.
Is he? He's going to be there cheering you on. I know he will be.
Oh, of course. Yes. He'll be there. And what's also exciting about the Road to Horse is we don't just have that competition, but we also will be doing clinics through the week and demos as well.
Oh, wow. So. Great. That's terrific. You know, we're rooting for you.
Oh, my gosh. I super appreciate it.
Cosequin, the number one veterinarian recommended joint health supplement brand, is excited to announce the launch of its newest supplement, Cosequin ASU Balance. This advanced formula supports joint, immune, and digestive health. Cosequin ASU Balance helps moderate the inflammatory responses that can cause immune and GI tract disturbances through the innovative inclusion of postbiotics and beta-glucans. The formula includes the comprehensive joint support Cosequin is known for, with ingredients such as ASU, hyaluronic acid, and Boswellia serrata extract. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products when performance matters. To learn more, speak to your veterinarian or visit Cosequin.com.
Well, before we get to question first world problems, I had a couple things here. So I heard from a listener over the weekend. Remember we had talked about the Mongol Derby. It starts today.
Yes.
And we had talked about a couple of the competitors, and there was a husband and wife. Well, apparently there was a couple last year in the Mongol Derby. Gianna Acock and Colby Coltrane from Dallas were in it. And our listener says they're trainers at my barn. They did not go across the finish line together, though, because
Are the trainers at my barn.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she said they didn't go across the finish line together because Colby got sick and Gianna went ahead without him. And apparently she finished sixth or seventh. So they didn't finish together, but there was a couple last year. And it did start today.
I did see that Michael Pollard, who's like on the Pan Am eventing team, is also competing. No idea. Yeah. So
we see him at Kentucky.
Yeah, we see my Kentucky Hugh Riley, who's an amateur FEI rider, both eventers, both competing. So it's going to be really, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it should be fun. We'll let you know on Wednesday. They'll be in day two of 10. So I'll check the dots. Also, good news for horse welfare going on right now. There's a lot of talk in the dressage world and higher show jumping world and even eventing about things that can be done for the benefit of the horses. And one of the big talks in the dressage world has been double bridles. And the Danish Federation led the way by banning double bridles below level 4 in dressage. So level 4 is equivalent to like advanced, like middle advanced. So they're saying anybody under that isn't qualified to use a double bridle. So at least it's a start.
That is that like pre-St. George Grand Prix?
No, like advanced would be like kind of like one star, maybe I think one star area, like you would see in eventing. So, but it's a start. I mean, what they're basically saying is you're not qualified to use double bridle below that level. And hopefully, you know, and also there's a committee formed in the FEI right now to discuss opening up upper levels to competing in snaffles, which are not allowed now in dressage at the upper levels. So they're talking about that right now, too. So I feel like in little increments, the FEI is figuring it out. And also, it's a Danish federation that did this in dressage. So I feel like the federations are also are doing little things. And as you and I talked about, you know, there's a snowball that rolls down the hill on the bad side, but there's also a snowball that rolls down the hill on the good side. So I think we're going to see more action from various countries about things like this in the future, too. And it's, in my opinion, any little change like this that helps for the benefit of the horse. We talk about racing all the time, but there's problems in every discipline. So the only thing we can do as a species is try and make them better and try and do better. And I kind of feel
speak
like
for those who can't speak for themselves.
So on that note, do you wonder why your horse may resist buck, trip, or refuse jumps or show restricted movement? Was that a good segue or what? Have you tried endless solutions to uncover the cause? The right answer might be right in front of you. Saddle fit issues often manifest in ways you might have never considered. Schleza saddles are carefully designed to match the biometrics of your horse and the anatomy of the rider. They maximize shoulder freedom, avoid negative pressure points, and sit precisely in the ideal saddle support area. Plus, they are fully adjustable to accommodate your horse's changing shape and your evolving needs. This allows your horse to move freely and comfortably while giving you the optimal balance and support. Understanding how your saddle fits and what can be done if it doesn't is essential to your horse's health, comfort, and performance. Book your appointment today at schleza.com. That's S-C-H-L-E-E-S-E.com. We haven't done a question first world problems in approximately a month.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
That's right. It is time for equestrian first world problems. That's the time of the month where our auditors tell us what their real problems are in the horse world. Because as you know, if we're in the horse world, we're in the first world, right? So let's find out what serious, really hard problems they're having.
So if you do want to contribute to Equestrian First World Problems, you have to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down the middle of the page, click on the auditor banner, and for as little as $3 a month, you too can join the party and tell us about your woes.
All right, I'm putting on my glasses. You know I'm getting serious. Okay. Lisa posted, I took the horses out in my awesome, new-to-me horse truck. Remember, she's in, what, New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
I took the horses out in my awesome, new-to-me horse truck, and the baby OTTB peed in it. But no, not on the 30-minute each-way trip. Oh, no, he waited until I pulled into my driveway, and I was about to unload him before he peed in it. Oh, there's that first... mess.
Oh, yesterday I cleaned. This happens every damn time, and we all know it. I cleaned Scooter's stall, made it all pretty. 2 seconds later, he peed in it. 2 seconds. Oh. They always do it. They either poo or pee right after you're done.
Can I tell you something personal? That's really gross. What? Okay, so when I put bedding in my stalls, it's expensive. I have to buy the bag shavings. So yeah, I put the bag shavings in there. Yeah. And Duke, he's 33 now. Like, I know what he's gonna do. And I know when it's going to happen. And if I walk him in that stall,
you put a bucket in
5 seconds, he'll pee, and I caught it in his feed tub.
Oh, no.
I was like, listen, this was too expensive for you to urinate in it. But I knew it was coming, and I was like...
Did you buy him a pee bucket now?
Kick this bucket. It just happened. I just kind of slid this bucket underneath as he was parking out. And I'm like, and I'm sure he was like, what are you doing near my wiener? But like, I just caught it all and it was all fine.
You did wash the bucket, didn't you, please?
Sorry, I let my dog out. But no, I didn't wash the bucket. I fed him right then. No, I'm just kidding.
You know you were going to get an email asking that.
Yeah, like I'm giving my horses the, you know, it soaks the alfalfa pellets. It's really good.
Well, they eat off the ground anyway. They pee there, so what the
heck.
I
know, yeah. Right? I mean, he does it to himself.
That's true. It's his fault.
No, I washed the bucket out. Delius, I quickly, quickly unclipped the feed bucket. I was like, argh, argh, argh. Delia says, I got my dream horse job where I get to train and sell horses and manage an entire facility. And what I didn't realize is the horses I'm selling are worth like over $30,000 each. And now I just want to bubble wrap them and my butt has never touched something so expensive. Dude, there's a lot of fear that goes with that.
Yeah, I imagine.
I have this American Pharoah. Son of Mazuma here, and I'm supposed to do this like targeted fitness work, and oh my god, I'm like every second terrified. I'm like, Homer, get out of the pen. Like Homer's gonna hurt him. You know, I don't know. God, it's terrifying when they're expensive, and you're just like, because mine, I'm like, it'll be fine. Yeah, no, not with other people.
The rich people don't feel that way, though, do they? Really?
No, they don't. They don't have the same thing.
No.
JMO says, I won a halter and polo wraps during really bad ads.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is not a first world problem. I'm super excited that I won something. But now I need to go shopping because, like, I don't have a saddle pad to match and my horse rubbed his forelock off and I get his balls and all the photos. Like, dude, after Groot's experience, I started shopping online for forelock extensions, and they have them. So you're going to have to shop.
Except if they rub it off too much, there's nothing to weave it into, is there?
I mean, obviously, the thing I do with fly masks, horses that keep losing them, is I just use a staple gun. It gives me fun.
Staple it to the fly mask so it looks like he has one coming out of the...
There you go. Hey, that's nicer than what I was
saying.
I feel
like we're being really stupid in the second.
This is Equestrian First World Problems. Everybody listening should know every single part of this entire segment drips with sarcasm. So that's kind of the frame.
Yeah, we don't advise using the stapler on your horse's forehead. We don't advise that.
I don't soak my horse's pellets in urine, and I don't actually staple gun things to my horse's. I feel like I shouldn't have to say this now, Glenn. It's been too long since we've done this, and you're forgetting. Need a disclaimer. You know what? Add in the little bumper. By the way, everything we say is complete sarcasm.
And nonsense. Right? Yeah, don't listen to
and
any of it.
Utter nonsense and don't do any of these things. Well, this one's really true. And poor Hillary. She says, I've had to go the whole entire summer with no air conditioning in my barn because my horse is wearing glue-on shoes. I guess glue-on shoes.
How they relate.
Yeah, because they're expensive. Don't you know how expensive glue-on shoes are, Glenn?
Oh, gotcha. I will say that our electric bill this month was a doozy.
Yeah. But it's like one or the other. Do you go with air conditioning in your barn bougie much? Air conditioning in your barn,
I
or
did
you
think
pay
of
for
that,
the glue
but
on
I wasn't
shoes.
Gonna say it. I thought I'd let you say it.
Oh, good lord. Christy says, my saddle doesn't fit my new horse. So I had to buy a new one. Obviously, but now my husband's horse grew, so he needs a new saddle too. See, but it's shopping for him, so it's like it doesn't count.
No, that's right.
And it's money that you're spending on somebody else. Like it's fine. Kai says my new off the track standard bred has been such a breeze to start under saddle and loves the trail solo and with friends, but now I'm sore and tired from how much riding I'm doing. Don't worry, he'll break soon enough. He'll be fine. But just try to kill themselves some other way. April said, oh my god, I had such a really good hair day yesterday. Oh, such a good hair day. But all I had to do was clean and level stalls, and with all that sweat, my hair was ruined, and nobody saw it but the horses, sheep, and dogs.
And they don't care. I feel like
care.
If you can have a hair day, a good hair day in this time of year with 1,000% humidity and 100 degrees, you're just lucky.
No, she had it when she was inside, but then she had to walk outside, and she lives in Texas, and
oh, God.
It's hot.
It's hot.
Kelly says, I have two amazing horses now because I bought one to replace the one that I had for sale. But now I'm just going to keep the first one. And now I don't have time to work two. Hannah, bless her heart. She adopted her horse from me through Horse and Hound, and his name is Finn. And she said, Finn has been doing so well on the flat. But all I want to do is now jump, but they won't let me because I'm pregnant.
Oh, well, congratulations. I didn't know she was pregnant.
Congratulations, babies ruin everything.
For the next 20 years.
I jumped until I was like 6 months till I couldn't fold in 2 point anymore because my belly was too big. Don't do what I say. That part's not sarcasm, but like, don't do what I say. But congratulations. That's amazing. It is going to be awesome and you're going to be the best mom.
All right, one more.
Emily says, okay, last one. I'm going to Europe for a week for vacation. But my baby horse, Charlie, is being so amazing right now. I'm going to miss her so much.
You know, all she's going to think about while in Europe is that horse. It's all she's going to think about.
I want to know where you're going in Europe. Like, I want to hear more about that. And your baby horse, of course. Think about. I know.
All right. I thank you for doing that, auditors. We really appreciate it. And we'll have more Question First World Problems next month. A couple of housekeeping things here. Dr. Aaron from Poseidon Animal Health is coming back on the show on Wednesday, which means it's listener question time. I'll post in the auditor room, but if you're not an auditor and you have a health question you want to ask Dr. Aaron, email me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com before Tuesday night. And we'll try and get those questions. She'll answer three or four of them on Wednesday morning. The other thing is, Jamie and I are out next week, but we have brand new shows for you. I'm recording them. I've already started recording them. I'm doing what's called, I'm calling Founders Week. Now, that's Founders, cool. Not Founder.
It has a double. That's right. You got to really specify yeah. with this group.
Because yeah, there's
foundered?
A double meaning there. I'm interviewing three people. Helena, who, as most of you know, was my first co-host on Stable Scoop, and we started this 18 years ago. I'm also interviewing Samantha, who was one of my first co-hosts who did both WEG shows with me over the years. And I think a lot of you remember Samantha, beautiful British accent. And I'm also interviewing Dr. Wendy, who was an owner of the Horse Radio Network from the beginning. And we're doing it in three sections with each of them. So they'll be over three different days. And I'm doing the past. We're actually talking about how they got involved with HRN and the beginning of HRN, because I've had a lot of new listeners asking about how that all happened. Then what they're doing currently, and then what they plan for the future. So if you're missing them, I know a lot of you are missing Dr. Wendy and Helena and Samantha, that you'll get a complete update next week. So I'm calling it Founders Week because they were all really founders of the Horse Radio Network.
And update on vacation. Do you want to know where we're now, potentially?
Now, everybody, Jamie has changed this 50 times in the last 3 weeks. I'm going on vacation here. I'm going on vacation there. I'm going to Ireland. I'm going to Scotland. I'm going to... I can't keep track.
Last week, this beginning of this week, we were going to, last weekend, we were going to go to Venice. Like, so what we do, you guys don't know, my husband's an airline pilot, and so he refuses to buy airline tickets. So what we have to do is we can only fly when there's an open seat. So we have this app for American Airlines, and it tells you when, like, what flights, it's called Best Bets, and you can see, it says what flights have the most seats. So we've been looking at the local ones and the international ones. And like, I mean, internationally, it was either, now remember, I already planned an entire Scotland vacation.
Yes, you did. And your husband nixed it. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm like, screw you. I'm not planning anything if you're going to go ruin everything I did. So I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll go to Venice, Madrid, Barcelona, and Vancouver were the four international open flight destinations. And I was like, okay. Oh, I was like, I really want to go to Michigan. Like, I want to go to Michigan.
You want to go up to Mackinac, right? Yeah.
Yes, I want to go to Mackinac Island. And so
Michigan's
we looked at
just
it.
Beautiful, too. Yeah.
Apparently, all the people up there, we're looking at Michigan and Maine, and they're really suffering. There's wildfires in Canada, and it's like smoking out everybody. So I started to realize maybe we should wait until that's not a problem anymore before I go to Mackinac Island, because I'd hate to be like, you know, wearing a mask or something. And so it's smoking out, and I'm really sorry for everybody in Canada and all the people that are dealing with all the smoke. It's really terrible. Not to mention the fact, since we're still in equestrian first world problems, the Canadian wildfires are messing with my vacation destinations, Glenn. So we started looking, I think we're going to go to Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
And rent a car and like go to Yellowstone. Like I've been to Yellowstone from the south side because I'll go to Jackson Hole and we'd go up there. But now I've never been to Montana. So I'm going to go to Montana and then drive down. So yay. So
yay, maybe. Well, that'd be fun. I've never been there either. I've always wanted to go there.
It could change by lunchtime.
Yeah, it probably will. She'll be texting me. Yeah. Changed. She'll be back to Venice.
Chad's like, what about the Carolinas? I'm like, it's hot.
Yeah,
I don't want to go it's really
hot.
Hotter.
It is really hot here right now. Yeah, it's really hot. Maine would be good, except I heard it's really crowded this time of year up there. I mean, just really crowded in Maine.
Well, and then I was thinking too, like, what if we go to Nassau? Because the Open International is Nassau, the Bahamas.
Oh,
and
no, it's even hotter there.
I was like, but I want to swim with pigs. Have you heard of the swimming with pigs things in the Bahamas?
Yeah, but I don't think it's worth a trip to get there. And Nassau, by the way, let me give you a clue. We've stopped in Nassau at least 15 times on cruises, and we don't even get off the boat anymore.
Okay. Yeah, but I want to swim with pigs, Glenn. I think you're overlooking the fact that I want to swim with pigs.
I think really, really bad. I think you'll be disappointed after the half an hour of swimming with the pigs.
I put in my Amazon cart like a camera to go underwater because I was like, this is it. We're going to the Bahamas. And I came and Chad's like, what? So what did you look at? And I was like, I want to go to Nassau and swim with pigs. And he was like, what is wrong with you?
So all right, we got to go. Okay. I got two more shows to do today.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, everybody. Spain talk to you soon.
I want to swim with pigs. Why is it so hard? It'll happen. Mark my words. I'll go to Mackinac and swim with pigs.